Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18, ending in verse 24, where we see that we have the distinct privilege of coming to the Lord anytime, and we are given this ability by God to draw close to Him. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18, with a message entitled, The Dispensation of Distance versus the Dispensation of Drawing Near.
They that heard his voice entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And listen, everything that was happening was not allowing them to endure. Everything that was happening, everything that they were seeing, everything that was taking place was not enabling. It was medicinal in that it was showing them this healthy dose was given to them, rather, that there is this great divide between you and Almighty. It was good for them to be aware of the holiness and the majesty of God, but it was not enabling, it was defeating. It was. You understand it? It's overwhelming. It's distancing. It's dividing man from God. The voice of God is speaking. They're so overwhelmed by it that they could not endure as He's speaking. And it says that as so much of a beast in the middle of verse 20 would touch the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And listen, so terrible was the sight, verse 21, that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Isn't this kind of wild? Y'all know who Moses is, right? He's the nation's great deliverer. He's the one who spoke with the Lord at the burning bush. He's the one who used his rod, the rod of God. And him and Aaron did these majestic events and happenings by the grace of the Lord and the anointing of the Lord, the parting of the Red Sea, experiencing manna falling from the sky and feeding the nation of Israel, keeping their shoes from wearing. I mean, this is a man who experienced a lot of majesty of God. Isn't it amazing to you, though, that there's a very big difference between the things that God does and the God that does those things? Did you catch that? There's a very big difference between the things that God does in experiencing them and seeing them and the God that does those things. And even Moses is spooked. Even Moses is rattled. Even Moses is overwhelmed by all of this glory and splendor of the great I Am that's taking place. The nation is begging him, "Hey, please, you speak to us what God wants to speak to us. We can't handle his voice. We can't handle, it's too much for us. There's too much trembling. There's too much fear. There's too much awareness of all that we are not and all that he is." This is what the author is trying to say here to these Hebrew Christians. Y'all want to go back to Judaism? Y'all want to, because remember, they're getting ready to call quits on their walk with Jesus. Y'all want to turn away from the dispensation of drawing near, the dispensation of grace, where Jesus paid it all, where Jesus did it all because of the persecution, because of the ousting from family and friends, and you want to go back to what's comfortable and back to what's known? You want to go back to the dietary restrictions? You want to go back to the ritualistic routines? You want to go back to the crossing your T's and the dotting of your I's? Is that what you want to go back to? Then let me paint you a picture of what you're asking for. That's what he does. He kind of turns his tone a little bit. He says, "I've been encouraging you to look to Jesus. I've been encouraging you to run the race. I've been encouraging you that if you get off course, God's going to correct you and chastise you. I've been encouraging you to strengthen your hands, strengthen your arms and your feeble knees. I've been encouraging you of what to pursue and what not to pursue. Now I'm changing my tone. Now I'm saying it like this. You want to be like Esau, who gave up all of that birthright and the blessing that comes with the birthright? You want to turn your back on Jesus and go back to religion? This is what it looks like to go back to those things. You understand? And it's bleak and it's dark and it's devastating because it's separating you from the living God. Everybody with me so far? Listen, if you want legalism, this is what legalism looks like. This is it right here. This is what the law does. This is the person who looks down their nose snootily at other people and constantly criticizes and sizes up other people with themselves. This is what it's like, man. It was never intended by God to be final. It's finality, if you would. It's perfection. If I could personify it and say the law, if it finds its happiness, it finds its happiness in you saying, I can't do it. You with me? So therefore, I need one who can do it for me, the fulfiller of the law, Jesus Christ. He's everything that I can't be, and he took upon him all of my wretchedness and sinfulness. So why would you ever go back to it? But he says in verse 22, you are come. Okay, here we go. Here's the climactic portion of our study. Here's the epicenter of our study. That's not where I am, so let's move on from it. Where am I, Pastor, as a Christian? Okay, perfect. He says, here you are. You are come. Here's the tenses. Love tenses. You got to love tenses, too, if you're going to study God's word, because watch what it's like. He goes like this. You are come, and it means this. You're already here. Not you shall come, not you will come, although there is that, too. When you get to glory and you're in the presence of the Lord, there's this fullness that will take place in the process of what we're going to read. But this is where you are right now, spiritually speaking. Seven things are about to be listed off to you. I didn't come up with them, so I can't take any credit, but I think the author here, inspired by the Spirit of God, did a dynamic job. You ready to have your mind just blown? You're going to get a lot to chew on right now. This is a Bible study in and of itself. You're not at Mount Sinai. You come to a different mount. Mount Zion. The city of David. Oh, come on. Who am I preaching to this morning? Y'all know what that means? You're at the mountain of grace. Golgotha, Calvary. The place where Christ was crucified so that you never have to die or be separated from God. The place where the mountain begs and bids the sinner to come near, not to get away. There's God calling now to tell everybody about it. You are come unto Mount Zion. Your King James says, and he says, and unto the city of the living God. That's the first of seven things he says. It's a city, he says, that you have come to, of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. How good. Listen, at Sinai, no city. At Sinai, no temple. At Sinai, darkness, fire, whirlwind. At Zion, the literal city of Zion, Jerusalem, there is temple, at least back then. There is temple unlike Sinai. There's so much beauty, beautiful for situation. Is Jerusalem. And anybody who's been to Jerusalem, you ride into that city, and no matter where you come from, you ride up, even though it's down, you ride up into Jerusalem. And when you get to Jerusalem, I've done it several times, when you get to Jerusalem, your heart pounds as a believer because you're home. You didn't even know how homesick you were till you get home. You are in the city where your Savior died. Can you even imagine it? How many of you have experienced it in this room? Am I telling a lie? How amazing is it when you ride into Jerusalem? We're going in March, God willing, of 2021. It's spectacular. You ride into that city and your heart is filled with joy. You get to Mount Moriah where Christ was crucified for you, and your jaw will be, I'll have to walk by you and have to pick up your jaw. off the pickup, off the handout, tissues to everybody. You'd be wiping your tears. First time, I was doing that when I got in the airport in Tel Aviv. I wasn't even out of the airport yet. Rugged right down the terminal, right down into the airport. My jaw's at the ground. I'm with Scott Gallatin from Calvary Finger Lakes. He says, you haven't even been outside yet. I said, yeah, but I'm here. I'm here. Then you get to Jerusalem. You walk down the Via Dolorosa. You get to the place. You see the hillside. You see there's a part of the skull that you can still see right in the precincts of where Christ was crucified. And you're there, and you're by Gordon's tomb, and you can see both, one out of this eye and one out of that eye. You can sort of behold both at the same time, and you stare, and you're just in awe. That's the physical Zion. But he says there's even a better Zion. There's a heavenly Zion that I'm calling your attention to. Y'all got dual citizenship. You're here on earth right now to be light and to be salt. I hope you're all trying to do that. If you haven't noticed, our world really needs light and salt right now. It's very lost out there. Not forsaken, though. Hold on to that. Memorize that. The world is not forsaken. It's just lost. They don't know who to believe. They don't know what to hold on to. What news station? What politician? Right? It's very confusing, and it's full of turmoil out there and anxiety. But listen, you know Jesus. You're light and salt. You have a citizenship that's not just here, but it's beyond here. You look beyond the horizon of this life, and you got a citizenship in glory. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul said, you're already seated in heavenly places. How about that? Isn't that good news this morning? Now you don't get to experience the fullness of that. Should Jesus tarry and your spirit goes to glory, you'll get a taste. And then at the resurrection, your physical frame will be glorified and meet up with your spirit. And there you'll be in the heavenly places with Christ. And it's going to take all of eternity to learn of his mercy and his grace. That's your future. So he says this, listen, you don't want to go to Mount Sinai. You don't even want to start with the whole, give me the Ten Commandments. Let me see how I can do with them. You can't lie, you can't commit adultery, you can't steal, you guys are done. Don't even try it. Nor should you have to. It was only supposed to be a tutor for you. That's the dispensation, the order of distancing from God. Aren't you sick of distancing? It's terrible. It's so awkward. You don't know what to do when you see people. You don't know how people feel. And this has been the most strange 4 or 5 months that I've ever been alive for. It is, I don't know how to feel about it anymore. I'm so perplexed. I have so many emotions that I'll keep to myself so that you don't stumble. But I look at this thing, and I know this, I don't like it. I don't like distancing. There's something about embrace. There's something about touch. There's something about family, amen? There's something about a holy kiss that I long for, that I miss, that I'll just tell you the truth. I suppose I sort of took for granted. That I long for, all the more for God. I don't want anything to do with something that distanced me from him. I'm so thankful that I come to the mount, the heavenly mount, where, hey, check this out. There's no temple there, but there's also no sun there because he maketh light. And in this city that I have citizenship in and that you have citizenship in, there's no more sin. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. There's no more death. There's no more COVID. There's no president this or this bishop here, or this person that confuses me and stumbles me there. There's no more darkness. There's no more night. There's no more shutting the gate at the end of the day because bad people are going to come in. There's no more whoremongers and drunkards. There's only those whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. That's our future. That's our future, where old things will pass away and all things will become new, and everything that we know is going to roll up like a scroll, and we're going to go right back to Genesis 1 with Jesus, Creator God, and we're going to watch him speak, borrow, create something out of nothing. And the new city of Jerusalem that you're reading about right here this morning, the city of Zion, the heavenly city, it's going to descend out of I don't know where. And it's going to come down. A 1,400 square mile cube is going to come down. Multi-dimensional, multi-level. It has walls that are 216 feet thick. Stretching from the East Coast all the way to Colorado, made of crystal clear. The asphalt there is going to be gold, transparent gold. All the gates of this multi-leveled city, 12 layers thick of colors and hues that you can't even comprehend, and neither can I, are made out of pearl. That's the city that waits you. And in the presence of all that city is the glory of the Lord. It's the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world, marked with the slaughter of the cross. That's where your citizenship is. That's where you're headed. This isn't your home. You're a pilgrim. You're sojourning. You're passing through. Make your money and have your family and play your sports. My wife texted me on my way in at first. My son's an attorney. He scored a goal in the first minute. You don't think I celebrate about that? You don't think I go crack? Go for it, man. He's got 4 baseball games today. Like, I love it. Life's wonderful. Eat ice cream. Order pizzas. Have carbs, for goodness sake. Enjoy yourself, man. Like, but this isn't it. We're fighting this fight right now because we got to win people to Christ. What happens in the end? God wins, of course, and he's going to take his people home, and he's going to deal with those who are here as Christ rejectors. But in the process of waiting for this to all come to pass, man, we don't just sit here and just sort of hang our heads down and sort of lose our focus, man. Okay, this isn't it. This is where we're headed. But why we're here, Jesus, use me so that others can have this future that I have of your glory. He goes like this. Listen, you didn't come to Mount Sinai. That's not where you're at. If you're there, listen, you're duped. It's not where you're supposed to be. Stop with the legalism. Cut it out. Stop with the legalism. If you want to do the legalism thing, then get ready for the dietary laws, the Sabbath laws, the feast laws, the righteous by performance nonsense. Listen, Sinai is the absolute unapproachability of God. That's what's being communicated. Zion is opposite. It's grace. The law demands and the law punishes. Jesus paid it all. It's a contrast. You are come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Number 2, you are come. You have already come. You have already come to the innumerable company of angels. That's the, listen, literally in the Greek, it's like this. It's the uncountable. You can't even count them. There's so many of messengers of God, servants of God in glory that look down at the earth in bewilderment. Jesus, you're really going to let this guy represent you and speak your word right now to Calvary Chapel. I don't understand this. He's so imperfect. He's so wretched. And then Jesus says to the angels, this is grace. And they marvel. We don't get it. They never experienced grace. They didn't experience grace like you and I have experienced grace. And there's these angels, these powerful beings that deal with Satan for us, that protect Israel for us, that protect our children for us, that hedge us and watch over us and serve the Almighty God. He goes like this, you've already come to this mountain. There were angels at Sinai, but you would have been scared of them angels. But the same angels on Zion, the dispensation of grace and drawing near, they're ministering spirits. They're yours. They're yours in Christ. This is your inheritance. You've got a heavenly city. You've got innumerable company of angels. Number 3, verse 23. Check this out. This is my favorite so far. It goes like this. You've come to the general assembly and church. It's not of the firstborn. There's no definite article in the language. It's of firstborn. I believe that's all one thing there. And he even adds on to it. He goes like this. Which are written in heaven. If I go off on this one right now, I won't come back. So I'm saving it. I'll come to the end. This is too crazy. I'm going still. I'm going to right to number 4. You came to God, he says. You came to God who's the judge of all. How good is that? The Father. Can you imagine? We've come. We've already come. And there'll be a fullness, a fuller fruition of this when we're in the presence of the Lord. But can you imagine what it will be when we behold the Father? Behold what manner of the love of the Father who gave his only son. Can you imagine when we see the Father who gave his son so that we can come? Did you ever think about this? Jesus is seated at the what? Right hand of the Father. This is yours. You know what these people would have done when they read that? They would have fallen out of their chair. Y'all are sitting at me like that's all you got? These Hebrew believers would not come to God. You can't come to God. Some of you were like that with pastors. You came from a church, you know, representatives of God, pastors, elders, leaders. You were taught like pastors and hierarchy in the church are separate from everybody else. we're holier than you are. When we teach the Bible, it's you don't do this and you shall not do this, but we're over here. We're separate. That's what you were used to. You weren't, if you're foreign to Calvary Chapel, at least in our movement, man, a lot of the guys who led the way and are leading the way, you know, that have gone ahead, they wear those, you know, Hawaiian shirts and khakis, and they're honestly a bunch of like ex-drug addicts and hippies that Jesus saved back during the Jesus movement. Those are the trailblazers in the movement that I am catching the baton from, and I'm proud of it. These are the guys that Jesus transformed and got a hold of. And they became down to earth, just even the stages. I know pastors in the movement that lowered the stage so that they didn't come off like they were so much higher than the people. I'd do it too, but y'all wouldn't be able to see me in the back. I hate the stage. I hate the separation. You weren't used to it. You knew nothing about it. Imagine all the more with God. You come from a religion where God is stiff-arming. You stay back there. You're dirty. You're wretched. You had a bad Saturday night. You've been bad all of 2020. Don't even think about coming close. Now all of a sudden he goes like this. Y'all want to hear your inheritance? You want to know the mountain that you came to? One of a heavenly city. One of innumerable, uncountable angels. Want to talk about power? Uncountable angels. You've come to be a part of a gathering of firstborns. Now he says you get to come to God, who's the judge of all. You get to come to him, though, as your father. The judge is your father, y'all. You didn't hear me. You don't know how naughty you are. The judge is your father. That's good news if you understand that you got an accuser that stands before the throne day and night and makes charges against you. You know that, right? You got an accuser, the serpent, the devil, who comes and stands before the throne of the Almighty God, and he makes charges against you. But you got a tremendous defense attorney. And then the defense attorney is your big brother, who's the son of the judge, who happens to be your father. So when the charges come, the judge tosses it because the defense attorney says, I died and paid the price in their stead. They are guiltless now and sinless because of my blood. I hope out on the lawn, Pastor Larry's having to calm everybody down right now. I hope if you're at home streaming this message in your jammies, if you got your robe on, take it off and twirl it around. This is, if ever there was a reason to get Pentecostal, it's right now.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.